Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello and welcome to another Project Love podcast episode. This is Selena speaking, the career and life design coach of the duo. And I have got an episode for you this week that is guaranteed to fire you up, inspire you, and put a grin on your face. I got to interview the incredible Britta Fernandez-Schmidt, who is author of Fears to Fierce, but also executive director of Women for Women International. I listened to this book in one go over the weekend before I had this conversation with Britta, and it was truly transformational. Fears to Fierce is like a rallying cry for all women or those that identify as being a woman to rise up, step into your power, and become the leader in your own life and in the world around you. I cannot recommend this book more. Britta herself is extraordinary and so inspiring, so full of wisdom and love. For over 25 years, Britta has been championing women's rights across the world. She's passionate about women uncovering their potential and finding their fierce. Like I said, she's the executive director for the incredible Women for Women International in the UK. She's also the chair of a network, Gender Action for Peace and Security. She frequently writes and publicly speaks about the challenges women face all over the world, and particularly in the context of poverty and conflict. And now she's also works as a coach to support women to find their fierce. She's a phenomenal woman. This was an incredible conversation for me. The book, like I said, was truly transformative. I can't wait for you to hear this conversation, read the book, and let the magic work on you too. So let's go. Britta, thank you so much for joining me today. To say that I'm excited, I'm actually quite overwhelmed and feeling very hot and excited about finally being able to speak to you. Welcome.
Oh my God, Selena, thank you. I am so excited too. So yay.
First of all, congratulations. The book is out. How is it going? How's it feeling to have your baby, your book baby out in the world?
Oh my God, I know, it's so exciting, isn't it? And I know you have experience in doing this. This is my first book and I've never done this before. And it's just really wonderful. And I guess obviously I have nothing to compare it to, but it's definitely exceeding my expectations. And above all, the comments that are people coming back to me with are just, oh, yay.
I am not surprised. I have spent the past few days with you in my ears, because I got the audiobook, because I love listening to this kind of thing on audiobook anyway. And you get to have your voice. And also, frankly, at the moment, I'm still homeschooling. So homeschooling and reading any kind of book doesn't really tend to happen. So I feel like I just spent the last few days in an intensive mentoring session with you. I couldn't believe the power of this book. And it wasn't, I felt like you wrote it for me.
Oh.
Obviously you don't know me, so you could possibly have just written for me, but other people must be saying the same.
Oh, I love it so much. This is actually honestly probably the best thing that you could have said. And that is, a couple of people have said this to me, and that's what I wanted. I wanted to become like your best friend. I wanted it to feel like I was talking to you. And I'm so happy that that's what you're saying.
It was, do you know what though, but it was more than a best friend. It was really feeling like having a mentor who is leading a way ahead and on the path I want to be on, and being like, I honestly found it truly transformational, and I wasn't expecting that. I thought, oh, cool. Okay. So finding your purpose, well, I kind of have my purpose, but you know, this will be interesting. And then I started reading it and I cried at points. The women that you talk about, the way you create this vision of what it could be if women, you know, really led and led themselves, you completely changed how I looked at leadership. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this. First of all, let me ask you, because in it you talk about setting intentions and you set an intention for the book. Mm. Please, could you tell us what your intention was as you wrote this book? Like, who were you writing it for?
Thank you so much. Yeah, what a great question. Yes, I did. I did it on a couple of levels. So obviously I had specific women in mind, because it was actually something that my publisher recommended and my editor. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Obviously, it's the first book I've written, and I found it really helpful. So I had two specific women that I kind of created from women that I knew. So like a younger woman who has just maybe done a couple of years of their career and really wants to have meaning in what she's doing and not wait. And then a woman maybe more like me who's had children and has already done a little bit of her career in inverted commas, and or maybe she's not had a career. It doesn't really matter either way. Somewhere kind of in the middle of her life, perhaps, where she's kind of feeling that there's something more. There's just something more within me and I can feel it. And I've been feeling it for a long time and I haven't really let it out. And now is the time to let it out. And my hope was that for those two kind of women, that this book could be the companion. And I love, like you say, the mentor, the cheerleader that's like there, that kind of says, yes, I see you. I see that because I have experienced that myself. Mm. You're not alone. You know, come on, let me take you by the hand and let's, you know, walk together. But obviously, because the journey of discovering your fierce and your purpose and what you stand for and overcoming fear is the one that you have to do from within yourself on your own, but you don't have to do it alone. And that was the message that I wanted to send. And then, you know, when I already had structure and everything and I was sat down to kind of start putting me to the bones and really kind of, you know, with my deadline in mind, I had my publishing deal. That's when I said, okay, before you start, Britta, what is your intention? And that's when it was much broader. It was really about how do I want the reader to feel? What do I want the book to be? What do I want my voice to be? So those kind of three things. And one thing that I did, I drew a star on the page. I have it here in my notebook because I just wanted this book to be full of light and also trust that it was going to find whoever needed to read that book. And that's what I hold on to. And I think that is what's going to happen. I mean, at least based on the comments I'm getting now, it's exactly doing that. And I could just not be more happy.
It's just stunning. It's got so much depth. It's so inspiring. And I know inspiration, you need to start with that. The inspiration is such a big one for you. And throughout, I was just like, yes, you know, there's so many inspiration, setting intentions, like that fierceness. And I really have a lot of that in me. And actually, it's so interesting. You describe those two people. I wouldn't say I was entirely either of them. I feel like I'm really following my fierce. But what I got from it was how to do it in a way to manage that energy that comes with it, that come on, you know, oh my goodness, when you talked about how you had felt that the pain of the injustice to women, like through the ages. I once did a healing retreat where I screamed and raged. It was part of the process. Yes. You know, they encouraged you to let it all out.
Right.
And screamed and raged in anger at the patriarchy and the oppression of women for like thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So all of this stuff you were talking about, but what I really got from it was how to handle that kind of fiery energy. And you know, you talked about the bullying, the experience, and how to, rather than going, oh, you know, rah, or just sort of walking away going, oh, feeling hurt, how to actually show up, lean into your values and come at it from that point. My mind was consistently blown throughout reading this book, and I wasn't expecting it. So honestly, it's just magical.
Oh my God, I'm so happy. I'm just like beaming, if you guys could see me from one ear to the other. And you know, and actually I love the fact that you use the word magical, because there is definitely something about that word. And I think it's what happens when you really allow yourself to to listen to something or to take something in and let it reverberate within you and then kind of bring it back up and see where it lands and then take that. And then you develop and you grow. And the next thing you know, you've just, you know, grown from the inside and your impact is doubled. This is the thing, right? Selena, because you have this fear, this anger. And anger. I mean, I am angry, right? Really angry about what women have had to experience and continue to have to experience. And I also know that that anger, if I can manage to transform that into a positive energy, an energy, I don't want to say positive actually, but into an energy that generates and that brings women together to create, to be more than the sum of our parts, that's when we will actually be able to achieve the change. Because that's in the end of the day what we want, right? Just being angry isn't enough. We need to use that anger to propel us forward and be smart and combine all we have. Combine our brilliant brains with our fiery, fiery hearts and our, you know, fierce instincts and intuition.
I felt so seen reading this book. In a way, honestly, I never have before. It was just, I just think it speaks to, like you say, all these women with this fire and anger that's within, and allowing that, not being afraid to let that out, but then learning how to handle it and manage it. And exactly as you say there, it felt like I didn't go to the book thinking this is going to help me with a specific thing. You know, because also I was like, I'm good with my purpose, although we can always, you know, hone in and stuff like that. But so I just, like you say, it's like I absorbed it. Mm. I drank it down and I let it land where it needed to land and do its work. And I just couldn't believe the different levels it was working on. I was just like, what is happening? Inspired, transformed. Yeah, it is just an incredible journey. I really recommend anyone to read it, whether they think they need it or not, just to experience it. And like you say, see where it lands. Aww. It's it was amazing. So let's take a few steps back. So Fears to Fierce, obviously that's what the entire book is about, a woman's guide to owning her power. And I tell you what, my whole thing is about stepping into your power. So that was the bit where I was like, ooh, okay, let's see, you know, what Britta's doing here around that. So for people that don't know you, could you explain a little bit about the work, the extraordinary work that you do today?
Yeah, thank you so much. So I do a lot of different things. One thing that I do is I work with a team at an organization called Women for Women International. And what we do is we help women through a year-long program in countries affected by extreme poverty and conflict. And that's a really practical program that helps women to, in fact, tap into their power and unfold their potential, and also overcome trauma and heal wounds. And so obviously I've learned so much about what it means to provide the space and the environment for women to transform their lives, and that it's never just one thing. Because we are not, we actually counter to believe, we don't exist in buckets or with labels or in boxes. You know, we are complex, multifaceted human beings. And if you take an approach that takes that into account, you can actually achieve real transformation. And so, and obviously, as I've been doing this work, you know, for the last 10 years and prior to that, I've worked with other organizations. I've also obviously learned a lot about myself. And above all, what I began to realize is that I can only achieve the change that I want to see in the world if I also recognize that I am key to that work. That, you know, how I feel and how I transform and how I come across as a woman and how I display my messy, you know, complexity is key to the change that I want to create. Because we don't exist in boxes. So I'm not just the executive director. And as executive director, I transform women's lives. No, you know, I'm Britta and I have several roles that I play. Executive director, mother, wife, blah, blah, whatever, all sorts of things. And I'm also something else entirely, which is, you know, is something that I'm getting to know every day. And what I've realized that by bringing it all together and by realizing that what Women for Women International is doing with women in countries affected by conflict is really actually no different in essence to what every woman is striving for, which is to tap into your power despite all the trauma and the pain and the wounds that you might have. And you spoke about healing, right? Celine, we all carry wounds around with us. And the process of getting to know those and healing those is just transformational. And if when you can do it in a group with other women, which is what we do, we bring women of together in a group of 25, that's when you see the biggest transformation, because you realize you're not alone. You realize it's not your fault. You know, you're not the one. You're not crazy. You're not the, you know, the person that is not normal. Like, we're all not normal. It's like been part of this conspiracy theory, right? Where we're all like, oh my God, I wish I was normal. If only I was normal as the others. Anyway, so that's what I do at Women for Women International. But I also, in the last few years, have started working as a coach. And obviously now I'm an author. But above all, my purpose is to inspire other women to follow their fears. And that's what I try and do wherever I go and whatever I do. And more and more, Celina, I try and let that purpose and my heart and my intuition guide what I do.
Absolutely amazing. It is so inspiring. The stories as well that you include in there of women that you've met along the way, just, I think, is it Abiola at the end? I mean, I won't tell her story because people must read the book to hear her story, but I was in tears. I was so moved. And the way you tell it, it's like her energy comes into the book and it just kind of came into me and was like, it was so inspiring. And the pain and the trauma that she's been through and then the transformation she's made in her community was, it just shows the power. Like you say, it brings it all together at the end. This is the power when we, as women, come together and rise up and step into our power. And this is what can happen as a result. And it's just, yeah, it's, I'm going to keep saying the word magical.
Do you know what? And I think, and I love that so much. And one of the things that I've realized is, and this has become like my favorite saying, this, you know, as you witness another woman's rising, she gives you wings. This witnessing, this, you know, what you said about like that you felt seen, that for me is one of the greatest powers. And it's also a gift that we all have within us. We can see another woman. And that being seen, then it just gives us that energy, that elevation, that recognition. I was reading this amazing book by Michael Mead called The Genius Myth. And he has found a way to express what I've been trying to put into words. And now I can, because he's helped me, you know, through him saying it. So kind of he held up a mirror to me, right? And because what he says is, you know, we all have a very unique genius within us. I call it my fierce, you know, call it genius. You can call it whatever you want. And it is your job, in inverted commas, to get to know it and to let it shine out without fear and to unfold it. But it is also our job to witness other people's unfolding, because what he says is that when the genius, you know, unfolds, it wants to be seen. And if it's not seen, it can lead to madness. Because again, you're back in the place where you kind of like, can nobody see what I'm seeing, like who I am, what moves me? And that is so key, right? That you can see someone else and that you can feel seen. So that's where the community comes in, which is just essential. And that's maybe not the kind of traditional self-development, personal development that you do on your own at home. You know, yes, absolutely, that is part of it. But the other part is step out, tell somebody about your purpose, make sure you're seen.
Yeah.
Key.
And that takes courage and it's scary. And what's brilliant is that you talk about the times where, as you've grown, stepped into your power, people don't like it, whether it's you as an individual or you as a community, like, you know, the Me Too movement and then the backlash. But you also talk about your own, like really openly about your own personal circumstances where you've had colleagues who did not like it and they bullied you and how you dealt with that. And that's something that we fear, but it's also really powerful to hear. Not only do you fear it, it's not like, don't worry, it doesn't really happen. It's just your fear. No, no. It's, you've got a reason to fear it, because that's been happening for forever. When women step into their power, people want to bring them down. That is absolutely going to happen. And here's how you're going to handle it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is great.
I love it. That is so true, right? That's exactly right. The fact is, if you rock the boat, there are going to be people who do not like it. And so you've got to be ready for that. Exactly. Yeah. To pretend kind of that it's not going to happen. But obviously there's so much that you can do, and you know, growing is uncomfortable, you know, growing pains. That's why they're called growing pains. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be painful. But the rewards are always greater than the uncomfortableness. They just always are, because in the end of the day, in the evenings, you go to bed. And this is one of the things I always do. Every evening, I think about the moments in the day where I was following my fears, where I was living my values. I was being Britta, you know, and then I can sleep and I know this is good. This is, I'm on the, you know, that's my commitment to myself. Mm. And so being in your power and rocking the boat is going to be uncomfortable, and they're going to be people, and they're not just going to, you know, be a little bit, they're going to full on challenge you. They're going to do everything they can, and they're going to revert to really under the belt tactics.
This
is the thing, right? He's right. Exactly. They're going to push every single trigger, because instinctively they know this is the thing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And they're just going to do anything they can to put you back into their place so that they don't have to feel uncomfortable. Because that's the key. It's not really about you. It's about them feeling uncomfortable because you've just grown and you've just shown them maybe what they are not doing. And maybe deep down they would like to do, but they just cannot right now do that. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's just, oh, it was so funny. There was one point where you talk about meditation and how important you find it. And my thing, and it was exactly, I was like listening when you're talking about your struggle with it, I was like, yeah, that's still me. And I had started meditating again, and then I'd kind of fallen off it. And you talked about it, and I literally stopped the audiobook, turned on Headspace, and sat down. I meditated. I mean, it was literally like you were next to me going, now, Selena, I think it's time. You took 10 minutes out and had a little stillness. It really does work. I was like, all right, Britta, I'll do it. And then came back feeling great. Let's continue.
I love that. That's the best. I mean, it's, you know, like, this is the key thing. It's like one of the things that I say, just, we just have to be kind to ourselves as we strive to create change, whether that's change within ourselves or change out there. Number one commitment, be kind to yourself. Don't ever use all your wonderful intentions to, you know, hit yourself over the head, because that's what we have a tendency to do anyway. So just don't do that. So the minute you're going to say, Selena, you haven't been meditating. That's really bad. It's like, no. It's just a statement. Yeah, it's true. Yes, I haven't. Okay, good. I will now. Thank you. That's really great. And that's just so important, isn't it? Because otherwise we're just perpetuating this kind of punishing behavior that our ego voice and critic in our head is constantly engaged in. And I think we're trying to free ourselves from that, isn't it?
Yeah. And the self-sacrificing, which women are so naturally programmed to do.
Oh my God. Can we just say, I think that's another whole book, because since I finished a book actually just before lockdown last March, which just as well, because I just don't think I could have written a book in lockdown. But anyway, and so since then, I've obviously been reading lots of books, because I love reading books. And I've been reading a lot about the kind of human giver syndrome. This is in a book called Burnout by...
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that term before, human giver syndrome. And this kind of, yeah, like you say, this kind of caring, obsessive kind of drive, like I have to be the carer and then I have to self-sacrifice. And I have that so deep within me, Selena, and I've just been recently really trying to challenge myself. And I think it links so much to boundaries. Right. And drawing boundaries and doing it without feeling selfish. Selfish in inverted commas, right? In a negative way.
Yeah. And allowing ourselves to put down boundaries.
Yes.
One of the big aha moments where I was like, oh my goodness, I had never seen it in this way, was what you talked about leadership. I mean, anyone who is a leader in a leadership role should absolutely read this book. But what I loved about what you said was that you were kind of challenging the whole concept of leadership and a leader, that we should all be leading ourselves. And it immediately made me think of like the stay-at-home mum who might think she's no longer able to be in that leadership role, which she might have once been, you know, in a high, you know, sort of kind of status job with managing people and was a leader, and might think she'd lost that, but suddenly realizing, oh, wow, you can bring that leadership into any aspect of your life, whether you are working or aren't working. So I can be a leader at home with my family and with myself and with my own self-care. And like suddenly it just opened it up and meant that it's open to everyone. Yeah. And it's not just there are some leaders, some people who are leaders and some who aren't. It's like, oh no, we all get to be leaders. And that just totally blew my mind.
Yay. I know, because I've been thinking about it for so long. I mean, I really, really feel so oppressed by the binary system that we live in. I feel so oppressed by the structures and the hierarchies, and so oppressed also by these norms. I would even say there is like this leadership norm, isn't it? I mean, because if you look at leaders in inverted commas, they all look more or less the same, and they don't even look like me. And I'm white. So as I was growing in my career, there was this idea, you know, okay, Britta, obviously you're striving to become a leader. So I kept thinking, well, I wonder what that means. Okay, well, you know, so I clearly have got this understanding that it means to be strategic. So I remember in my reviews, they would say, you know, Britta, you're really passionate, you're loving and so on. You just need to be more strategic. And I'm like, oh God, okay. So that's another word I really don't like, strategic. What does that even mean? Hello? Because if we stop for a moment and we think about it, it literally doesn't mean anything. I mean, at least not in the ways, you know. And so this is the same with leader. So if you want to be a leader, can we talk about like what impact you want to create? Like what change you want to create?
Yeah.
Because that's, so you lead change. You don't, it's not like per se, you are now a leader. Based on what? Well, presumably only if somebody is following you. Now you can't force anybody to follow you. So by definition, this whole idea of the way that we're traditionally using the word leader and leadership just didn't work for me. So then I stopped and I thought to myself, okay, right. I lead my life. Right, I can definitely get on board with that, right? I am in charge of my life. In fact, that is what I'm trying to say to women. Mm. You are the change you want to see, right? You are it. You're key. You are your own leader. And this is why I introduced this notion of self-leadership, because you can only ultimately lead yourself. You know, I can grab you, Selena, right? I can say to you, you should do this and this and this and this. But if you don't decide to do it, you're not going to do it. And this is, I mean, you're so dictators. Dictators are dictators. They're not leaders either. So basically, this is kind of when I realized that self-leadership is so powerful, because it allows you not to be defined by these roles, these labels. You know, so if I don't have a job and I'm at home caring for my children, I'm not really worthy. I don't officially exist because I can never be a leader, or you know,
and yeah.
Was absolutely not true. And so that's why this was really important for me to introduce this concept and to realize that we are all leaders, because we all lead our lives. And when you realize that, it gives you a sense of power and responsibility, the power that resides within you, right?
Yeah. And it's also recognizing the power that we have in our every interaction with the world around us, that there's always an opportunity to bring about change, whether it's in a conversation with the person that's at the checkout buying your pint of milk or whatever it is. Like there's always an opportunity to bring about change and transformation and touch other people's lives. And it doesn't have to be, like you say, once you've been given permission to be a leader, that then you can go about, now I've been given permission to go about effecting change. It's like, you can be doing it any moment, you know, and you already are.
Right. So this is the thing, right, Selena? So you, every single one who's listening, you are already affecting change beyond what you can even imagine. Mm. So the first step is to actually stop and notice. Just notice what happens when you walk into a room. Just because you are walking into a room, okay? You don't have to say anything. You just, what happens here? Do people look up? Do they smile? Do they come and hug you? That those are all signs of how you impact others around you. And then the other thing that I would say, you know, actually with this leadership roles. These are your positions, right, that you are given because maybe you've been successful and they promote you and now you have this leadership role. If anything, with that comes greater responsibility. Mm. And it's not yours to have. It's not you. That role isn't you. It's a role that comes with great responsibility. And so actually that self-awareness that you cultivate, where you look around you and you realize how you're impacting through your actions and your intentions, that is like multiplied when you also hold, you know, positions where you are responsible for the lives of others. And with that needs to come this humility and that awareness. So, yeah, I think it's a really, I've seen this with the women that I coach, quite a life-changing experience to realize that you matter just as you are right now. There isn't this need to, when I'm older or when I finally have achieved something, then I will matter. No. Mm. No, you matter right now. But the key is that you know this. The deep knowing. It's not an intellectual knowing, it's a deep knowing that you matter and that the meaning you want your life to have is the meaning that you give it.
Yeah. And it's so powerful that of how the responsibility you have when you are put into a position of leadership. And I'm thinking of a mother with her children every bit as much as the CEO of a company. And you talk about this in great detail in the book about how it was suddenly brought to your attention, how, yes, you know, with your team, how some days when you walked in, you're in a great mood, how it impacted when you were not in a great mood, which is like kind of, well, you've got to show up, turn up and be able to be your authentic self, right? And you've got to be able to feel your feelings. However, when you're in a position of responsibility, you've also got to think about how you manage that. You can't just turn up and be like, oh, I'm a rubbish day. Everything's pissing me off. it's not going to set a great tone for the rest of your team for the day. How do you manage that while honoring how you are feeling? I mean, you do talk about it in the book.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I keep thinking about that. I think it's such an important subject and it links to vulnerability, doesn't it? And it links to connection and it links to doing leadership maybe in a different way that is authentic, that is open, that does not pretend that you have all the answers, that you're always happy, that you're always hunky-dory, that everything is always brilliant. And it is also about always being aware of the impact that you're having. And so it's not about letting it all hang out and that is then authentic and, you know, I'm just being a vulnerable, authentic leader. You know, if you can't deal with it, then, you know, that's just like you're in the same kind of, you know, you don't take responsibility. You know, if you know that obviously you have an impact on those around you, whether that's your children or whether that's your colleagues, then you stop for a moment and you think, okay, today I'm not feeling 100%. And I absolutely want to share that because in actual fact, I want people to know that when I'm not 100%, that's A, acceptable, B, completely normal, and C, you know, I need to take some time out. And that's also really important.
Yeah.
But the way you do that, there's still loads of different options, right? You say, oh my God, I can't bear it. Or you can say, you know what, today I'm not feeling so good. And because I have a commitment to myself, I'm going to take a day off. And here's why I'm doing that. And, you know, and then you call a friend and you have a good old cry about the things and like how worried you feel and so on. But you don't, you know, but it's not being inauthentic, not totally, you know, letting loose and crying. It's just being, you know, really considerate actually and aware of the impact that you want to have around you. And I think that goes for everything, you know. Say your friend is really upset right now. You're not going to just burden them with your, you know, so I think, exactly. But it's an interesting balance, isn't it, Selena? Do you find that to kind of, yeah.
It's like a dance. And again, yes, you talk about it in the book and you talk about this, I think it's in about the parts. It's not yours. You're not leaving bits out, suppressing them, but you're also not bringing all the parts of you along, you know, to a job interview or, I don't know, even a date or, you know, even to your family home. It's just like, there are parts of you that you are choosing to bring into that moment and parts of you that you are choosing not. That's different to, I'm going to pretend I'm fine 24/7. I'm not going to let anyone see that I'm struggling. Instead, you're modeling good self-care and good boundaries without also then going the other way, which is, I mean, I remember hearing suddenly this, you know, again, backlash against self-care, which I'm like, oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, you don't want to suddenly become selfish and just be canceling your friends left, right and center because you can't be bothered to turn up. And I was like, no, well, that's not good boundaries. That's not integrity either. That's just you, like, you know, putting yourself 100% first. I'm all about making your happiness and well-being a top priority. That doesn't mean the most important priority, but a top priority, because I work predominantly with women and it's all about working with that. A large part of what I do is really working with that tendency to be self-sacrificing and put ourselves right at the bottom of the to-do list, like after the laundry and the washing up. It's like, come on, you know, you're putting that before you taking 10 minutes to meditate.
Exactly, Selena.
I mean, even like, oh, but it's good, I'm listening to this audiobook and I'm learning stuff. It's like, that's great.
Exactly.
But she's also telling you to take 10 minutes to meditate because the self-care, you know, when the higher you're rising and the more ambitious you are and the bigger you want to reach, you have to balance it with grounding yourself even more in your own self-care and your own love. Because otherwise you'll burn out, which is what my book coming out in April is all about.
So exciting.
You know, and you you won't be able to be there for your work and for the people you love in the way you want to be, because you'll just be frazzled. So yeah, it's a real beautifully complex dance that asks us to keep growing and to keep learning about ourselves. And the one that, I mean, it was that this fierce nature, like how to handle that fierce nature within us, because those of us who stand up and we're on a mission and we're like, listen, this is not okay, we can't keep normalizing this and accepting this and feeling the rage of thousands of years coming through and like, no, like how do you also manage when you see red and you can't think rationally anymore? And I, because this is something that I struggle with, and I'm then I watch my partner, actually, who, by the way, is Venezuelan.
No way.
Yeah, from Maracaibo, not from Caracas.
I love Maracaibo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they are suffering big time. But I watch him do it and he gets, he's got real fierce power. But what he does is I'm like, I'm going to go and tell them. And he's like, let's bring it down. And then he's able to communicate from his values of integrity and fairness and compassion and like that. And I just watched like, wow. And now I'm thinking back to as we were going through this book, I was remembering unpacking why I have this inability to like sometimes manage those moments. And it was taking me back to school and being bullied. And I was like, Britta, how are you? Because you weren't directly saying, right, now let's go back and look at your childhood. But you were dropping these things in that were causing me to suddenly remember back. And I was like, this is like going into weeks of therapy. And I just had a weekend listening to an audiobook. I mean, that's real power. That's real. That power just went into these pages. It's like a real alchemy happened. Oh.
I love it so much. I'm so happy because that's what I want. I just really believe in creating that space where it's like a domino effect, right? You kind of start to think and, oh, I wonder, and you start asking yourself questions, right? So I use a lot of questions all the time and you ask yourself, well, I wonder, like you just said, you know, I wonder why is it that I find it so hard to control that fire and kind of direct it more and be more intentional, you know, because this beautiful energy, it's there, it's for you to direct it and to be really intentional and to believe. Do you know, see, I would reckon, I guess, that there is still some fear in you around your power and that you feel that you just have to, you know, I'm just going to let it out. You know, it's just no one will control my power. And it's not about control. It's about the more we become intentional and clear and the more we can combine that anger, that rawness with our intelligence and our intuition, that's when we literally lift up and we touch people and we influence people so much more effectively. And that's when we see the change. And that then helps us to continue to enhance this dance that you described, because it's a dance. It's a dance between the fire and the water and the earth and the sky. And then it's all just, and then there are moments when we get it just right, in inverted commas. Where it just feels like you're in flow, you're fully in your power. And those moments, hold on to those, because they are like your kind of North Star. That's what you're trying to achieve. But I have definitely doubled up on my care commitments, particularly in the last year, because it's been such a big tumultuous time of change. And in those moments, whether they are externally or internally propelled, those transformational moments of change, they absolutely call for a doubling up of care commitments, 100%. And I now no longer feel guilty about them. I see them as essential. I know this is the only way that I can continue to be the change. And I just wanted to say about this, be the change. It doesn't say do the change, right? It says be the change.
Oh, that's a very important point to make, Britta.
And Nick, because it took me so long, Selena, because I'm a doer.
I bet it did.
Do you know what I mean? And I was like, no. B. Okay, so B. So what do you mean with B? What do you mean? Okay.
How do I do being?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And how do I do it well?
And there you are again. Who is going to determine whether it's throughout? Oh, no, it's me. Right. Okay, so not a good question to ask yourself. Yeah. Okay, no, let's keep going then. No, don't keep going. Just be still. Take a deep breath, you know?
Yeah. And it's those pauses that are so important. So when you get into that space of self-care, that is where you find your power. And I set an intention every year. And one year I set an intention that was to step into my power. Honestly, was one of the most powerful years of my life. Yeah. I went hands down, I want to step into my power and even more deeply into love. Mm-hmm. And I realized throughout that year that it was by doubling down on my own self-love and getting into that space of love that allowed me to step into a power in a whole new way, a feminine way, rather than power, you know, that does feel too much and not the direction I kind of want to go in. But yeah, absolutely, that self-care is where we find a source of power that is sustainable and that keeps growing.
Yeah, exactly. I really love the fact that you connected this to love, because it is it's an act of love towards yourself. You're signaling that you matter, that you love your body, that you love your mind, that you love your intuition or your spirit or whatever, you know, your soul or your fears or whatever it is that you want to call it, and that you honor it. And this love that you nurture for yourself, you know, you can then extend to those around you. And that generosity and that state of being love is just the most powerful. It's just the most powerful. Everything shifts in that moment. And these binaries and these boxes, they dissolve, because your heart is wide open. And I notice this now when I speak about this work, or when I speak about what I'm feeling, you can just feel how hearts are opening and how you're connecting at that love level, where there is, in those moments of deep love, there is no fear. That is the only time when there is really no fear, because you don't have to fear anything. Yeah.
That's the alchemy in the book. That's where the alchemy comes from, is that it comes from that love. It's just because, like you say, when you start to really cultivate that love within, which is what Project Love is, you know, is all about, yes. it, you don't yes. need to do anything to then no. extend it out, because it naturally starts yes. wanting to fly. It just, because from in that space of being and not having to do anything, it just beams yeah. out. And that, I think, is what really created the mm. alchemy in the book. And that's why it had this healing capacity to it. And I remember it was actually in that moment of thinking, like, why do I, you know, when I get enraged and feel, you know, I've been wronged, and how dare they, and what it triggers back to in my childhood, it was when you got us in the book to inquire, where is the pain? You know, where is the pain and where is the fear? And inquiring at that point. And it was handy because there was something that was making me mad with injustice over the weekend, something that happened. And so I asked myself, where's the pain and where's the fear? And that's what took me actually back to my childhood. And I was like, oh, I see. So you didn't get what you needed then. And that's what keeps getting triggered. That's what hasn't been healed. And that's what gets you into this almost childlike rage, yes. you know? The tantruming rage. But also, I think, you know, when I did have that experience of raging back through the ages at the oppression of women, it was beyond words. It was so visceral, it was so embodied. It was without language. It needed to be at that depth before, you know, nonverbal. It needed to just come out in a raw. And it was just the most healing thing I've ever done. Honestly, I'm so beyond excited to have discovered the magic of this book and the alchemy in it. I was just like, right, keeping this close.
Oh, honestly.
Even thinking about my book launch in a month, I was like, oh, now I get how I can do it, because Britta's just told me to do it in my way of leadership. Oh, well, great. Now I know exactly what to do. Honestly, it was like doing like a 3-month mentorship program with you condensed into a weekend. Obviously having one-to-one coaching with you would be even more powerful. But the fact that so many people can access your power and what you do for people in the pages of a book is extraordinary.
I actually cannot thank you enough, because it's not just because it's extremely kind, everything you're saying, but I now feel really seen. And I genuinely, the way you have been able to take in, I guess, the intentions behind my book, but really the depth of it is really powerful for me. So I feel really seen. And what you say about alchemy and love, because love is chapter 6, there are 11 chapters. So love is the center of the book, and it is, and that is intentional. And that is absolutely what I believe and believe and live and feel. It's not, you know, it's just is. Love just is, and it's about allowing it. And then I just wanted to say one other thing, you know, that clearly this moment where I write about how there are times when I'm completely overwhelmed by the pain, you know, this immense pain that I have inherited because I'm a woman. I've identified as a woman and I live life as a woman. That, you know, that clearly is something that you also feel in a really deep way. And so for you to say it in that way is, again, another moment where I feel seen. And that will never stop being important, to know that I'm not the only one who feels this immense pain and baggage. It's like this enormous baggage that I carry around with me that I look at and I'm like, it's not mine. This doesn't, in terms of, it's not, that's not my life. That I can't, as far as I go back, you know, that I can't find the source of that trauma in my life.
No.
And it's because it's not in my life. It's all the women who've come before. And the more I trust this intuition, this kind of witchy feeling, right? The more I can tune into it, and it's hard and it's painful. And there's this, you know, quote that I use, like, we are the granddaughters of the witches they couldn't burn.
I love it.
You know, and that is, you know, and I now carry that pain with, I don't always want to say pride, because I don't really believe in pride, but I carry it with honor.
Mm.
You know, I accept it. And there are moments when I'm deep in darkness and all I want to do is cry. Mm. I literally just and scream and shout and just with the pain. But I now understand that it's part of my power. That if I can use, and that's why I say go to where the pain is, because that's where you're going to find your greatest power. And that's when fear isn't an option anymore. Because you're like, oh, I've already got all this pain. It's not even mine. You know, what am I scared of? I mean, really, do you know?
The fear pales in comparison.
Exactly. Like, okay, fine. Let me just retreat.
Oh, Britta, there's one last thing that you just said before that really, it was about you matter. And not that you matter because X, Y, and Z. Not you matter because you have this role, you have this position, you have these achievements or this status, but you matter because you matter. That's it. And therefore, step forward into your power and listen to yourself and love yourself. And if more and more of us do that, and particularly women and those identify as women in community, when we do that and we come together, we do want to step forward and help transform the world around us. And men too, they can come in too.
Absolutely.
But I just want to say the deepest heartfelt thank you for what must have gone into writing this book and for the extraordinary work that you do, because day in, day out as well, you are hearing the stories and working with women who go through extraordinary pain and trauma. So you do hold a lot of that. And to appear with such joy and such lightness and such power, and just a huge, 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 huge thank you. I'm so happy to have finally met you and connected with you.
Me too, Selena. And I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking, okay, so Selena is going to be my new best friend. Okay, that's great.
Yay!
What's the next thing we can do together? Okay.
I'm in.
Yes, me too.
But how can people, obviously they can go and buy your book. So I will obviously be adding links to that in the show notes, but where else can they go to find out about your work and support you and Women for Women International?
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm pretty much on all social media channels, but Instagram is the most active one. It's Britta FS. And I also have a website, which is brittafs.com. And Women for Women UK is the handle for our Instagram and for Women for Women International. And obviously, there's also a website, womenforwomen.org.uk. So those are the best places to find me.
Amazing. And what loving, caring thing are you going to be doing for yourself today after this wonderful conversation that we've had?
Do you know what I really want to do? Is I want to go downstairs and sit with my dog, and I want to take my journal, and I want to write down how I feel right now because of this incredible connection that I made with you and this wonderful conversation we had, because that is one of the most nurturing things that I can do for myself, is really allow myself to feel this connection, because then you know you're not alone. So that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, wow. Of course. What an inspiring way to end this. Britta, thank you so much.
Thank you. Yay.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.